Welcome to the Sharp 600 brought to you by Covers.com. My name is Joe Fortenball. This is episode 111 of the podcast. Happy Friday the 13th, everybody. It is great to have you with us today. Gil Alexander, one of my best friends in this business, who started the OG sports betting podcast, the Beating the Book pod. You can now check him on the Vegas Stats and Information Network. He's coming up in just a few moments. He's one of the best baseball minds out there. So who better to talk to today as we try to put a bow on the first half of the season and look for betting value in the upcoming second half of the 2018 MLB campaign. Now, before we get to Gil, there's one little nugget I wanted to throw out there about MLB futures. And that has to do with a team in my neck of the woods, the Oakland Athletics, who are currently 80-1 to win the World Series. For those of you who may not be paying attention, Oakland is currently 8 back in the AL West. However, they're 53-41. 53-41. They are 12 games over 500. They have won 19 of their last 24. They are cooking with gas heading into the Bay Bridge Series, which will then lead to the break and another Bay Bridge Series on their side of the Bay this time. I don't see this team winning the World Series, but I think there's enough firepower, and I think they have a hell of a manager in two-time Manager of the Year Bob Melvin, that they could find a way to get past the Mariners, who are 5 games up on them for the second wild card. They could earn their way into the playoffs, and at the very least, an 80-1 wager could be hedged against come that first play-in wild card game. Again, at 80-1, I don't see them winning the World Series. I don't think they have the frontline pitching to get past the Astros or the Yanks or the Red Sox, but they do have a better record than every team in the AL Central, and the Mariners at +5 in run differential, yet 22 games over 500, I think are due for a regression. I think Oakland gets past them. I think Oakland gets in, and then we can hedge against the A's, beginning with that wild card play-in game at a price of 80-1. So just file that away in the back of your mind. The Oakland A's, which is a team we talked about at the beginning of the season before we launched our first baseball pod, that they were a play on for their win total, as in going over. This time, we're looking to double down. He's the host of A Numbers Game on the Vegas Stats and Information Network. You can also check out the podcast, Beating the Book, and on Twitter at Beating the Book. My friend Gil Alexander from Las Vegas joining us here on the Sharp 600. Gil, you know what's funny is that I've been doing this pod for about a year now, and there are so many sports betting pods out there. And I think back to how we met, which was me appearing on the Beating the Book pod, your pod, the first gambling pod. Have you ever established whether or not that was the first sports betting podcast?
I think it was the first sports betting podcast outside of Chad Millman's at ESPN. I think his probably preceded mine. But as far as the proletariat, the commoners doing podcasts, I think mine was the first. And you were kind enough to come on maybe 20, 25 times. You were always available, so I always appreciate it, man.
Dude, I always appreciate you coming on this as well, especially when it comes to baseball. And I want to jump into one of the local teams first. I led off the podcast with this topic. I still see the A's sitting out there at 80-1. Now, I understand they're behind both the Mariners and the Astros in the AL West, and I also understand that the Yankees and the Sox are red hot. But at 80-1, based on the fact that they're 19-5 over the last 24, do you get the sense that they at the least could get into the postseason, giving us a nice opportunity to hedge on that 80-1?
I don't, as tantalizing as that might seem, because 80-1 does make you sort of look that direction. The first issue I think with the A's is it's July, 13th today, Joe? Friday the 13th, July 13th. Trade deadline is 2.5 weeks away. So you're absolutely right. The A's have been spectacular here of late. Let's say, however, the A's are middling to not so middling the rest of the way till July 31st. A lot of people forget that what folks do at the trade deadline is largely determined not only as you approach the trade deadline, but really in those last 10 days sometimes. And we have evidence of Billy Bean playing it both ways in the past, as you very well know. Sometimes he decides to go for it. Other times, even when they're 3 games out of a playoff position at the trade deadline, he will wave the white flag. So I think that's an issue that you have to consider as well with the 80-1 right now.
Across the Bay, the Giants find themselves 49-46 heading in to the Bay Bridge Series this weekend. Now, this is a bit disappointing to myself, who has quite a significant position on the under 83 wins for the Giants this season. What is going on with these guys? They're minus 27 in run differential. I'm waiting for the regression, yet despite all the injuries, it's a Teddy KGB thing, hanging around. They got that alligator blood.
And how does that go over on the San Francisco radio that you have him on the under, by the way? Do you make that? You make the audience aware that you have that wager?
I may or may not have. That's neither here nor there at the moment. I did tell him that I played that. I don't drive it home every day. The point I get back is, look, it's an investment. I was on air with an afternoon guy when Bumgarner got hurt, and the 83 didn't move. So I just started firing. It didn't get adjusted till about 79.5 the next day. So my thought process was, I beat the number. It was a sound investment, but at the same time, I am against the local team. So I'm not making myself any new friends.
Yeah, the Bumgarner injury, I think people who had under on the prop of how many wins will Madison Bumgarner have, they were, you know, look, we don't get happy at anybody's injury, but those were the specific bettors that I think sort of quietly pumped a fist, and as long as it wasn't a career ender, they were okay with it. But I think the Giants, I think they're going to exceed that season win total. I think it will come down to the last couple of weeks. And you could say that for a lot of these season win totals in the NL West. Even the Dodgers at 95.5, it's not out of the question still. They're on pace to win 88, 89 ball games. So it's a four-team race. I think the Rockies will be the first to fade. I just don't trust them at Coors. They've been awful at Coors. But with the Giants, you know how this goes, Joe. It's an even year. Apologies to 2016, but shout out to the previous three even years. The Giants have a way of figuring this out. Johnny Cueto is back now. Mad Bum is back. As long as you have those two guys at the top, I know they've got other problems, but that's serviceable enough where it's got to scare you, at least for your season win total. The playoffs, that's another story entirely.
Even your bullshit. That's what I need it to be. I cannot believe these guys are in this thing up three. All right. So far this season, the Brewers are leading the Central. They find themselves a game up on the Cubs here on Friday. The Phillies leading the NL East. And you've got what you pretty much expected from a lot of teams in the American League, although the Rays have been performing quite well as of late. In your opinion, what's been the biggest surprise through the first half of the season?
I'd like to say the Brewers, but I had a lot of folks who came on, not a lot, but Paul Spohr at FanGraphs, also Jason Weingarten's on my show, a numbers game, talking baseball. They both had the Brewers, and boy, were they prescient, because this is the amazing thing about the Brewers is they followed the Royals model. The Royals have got to the World Series and then famously won the World Series in back-to-back years, a few years back. They did it from the back forward with Kelvin Herrera in the seventh inning, with Wade Davis in the eighth, Greg Holland in the ninth. That was their formula, playing from the back forward, because that was their resources. They had to play it that way. They would even have admitted they wouldn't have done it if they were the Yankees or the Red Sox. But the Brewers are stacked in the bullpen, beginning with Josh Hader, and they, Joe, have not gotten anything from the guys that were projected in the rotation to begin things, because their ace has been on the DL. And what they are getting is great young pitching now from guys like Freddy Peralta. And if they can really get consistent starting pitching, that is a team that is not the sexy one, right? It's not the one that the casual fans have on their lips like the Dodgers, like the Nationals, who, by the way, are another story, right? Struggling even to get to the postseason in the East. But the Brewers, I think, are very live in the NL Central. And even if they get into a wild card game, that's a team that everybody's got to keep an eye on in the NL.
Conversely, who do you see as the biggest disappointment through the first half of the season? You just mentioned the Nationals. Would they check that box?
It's got to be the Nationals. It's got to be the Nationals in terms of expectation. I mean, you could say team like the Angels, but, you know, the Angels for a second straight year just riddled with injuries. Listen, the Nationals, they're the team with the superstars. Strasburg can't stay healthy, that's for sure. But where exactly is it that the Nationals, what exactly the Nationals have behind Scherzer right now? They're throwing out a bunch of slop in starting pitching. And, you know, today it's Tanner Roark. Another day it's Jeremy Hellickson. It's a team that's got to get it together. The Braves and the Phillies were supposed to be a year away. At least the Braves were. Maybe not. But they, you know, baseball season is long, Joe. They've got enough runway where they can right the ship here. And you don't want to face a Strasburg Scherzer team in the playoffs, that's for sure.
Obviously difficult to handicap at this point in time, but where do you see Manny Machado landing come July 31st?
God, I don't. Do you want to bet against the Yankees in these situations?
Not really,
I mean,
no.
I hope not, but that'd be the chalk right now.
That'd be the chalk. All right, so as we get set to embark upon the second half of the season following next week's All-Star game, you are one of the best in the business at diving into the numbers, into the analytics. I know there's a lot of proprietary stuff that you keep in mind as you make your wagers. Are there any teams that you see kind of set for a second half surge that may be lying in the weeds? And then the follow-up to that's going to be, do you see any teams near the top of the heap that may fall back in the second half of the season that we may look to play against?
I think the team that is, you know, poised for a surge, and I sort of say that in quotes because they already lead their division, and it's the only division that's really sort of going away easily, the Cleveland Indians, who have a huge lead in the AL Central. But I think that's the team that is going to lead, is going to get into people's consciousness as a team. They're going to be like, uh-oh, wait a minute, we forgot about these guys. These guys are actually as live as anybody, and that's because of the return of Andrew Miller. And if Andrew Miller can be the Andrew Miller of 2 years ago, for instance, in the postseason run, I still think Cleveland Indians, who are just so close to knocking off the Chicago Cubs in 2016, I still think that's the team that's poised for even a bigger surge here in the second half. I do think the Mariners, you got to figure these one-run wins are going to have to even out at some point. 29 wins, I believe it is, Joe, in one-run affairs. Maybe it's 28. Either way, it's an amazing percentage of their entire win total on the season thus far. They do have Edwin Diaz back there. By the way, those who are thinking about relievers for the Cy Young, don't get crazy with it. It just doesn't happen. Zach Britton finished fourth in Cy Young voting his great year with the Orioles. The last reliever to win the Cy Young, Eric Gagne, he needed to do it in a year where the next best pitcher in baseball, the best starter, was Jason Schmidt of the Giants. So that's not the year. This year is not the year for that to happen. But I do think the Mariners will back off a little bit, probably not enough to get them out of a wild card position, though. That's the problem. We kind of know who the teams are in the American League, with apologies to your A's. That's the only team that's got a stone's throw chance. But I think the Indians will surge. I think the Mariners will drop off just a little bit, not enough to get them out of a wild card position. And keep an eye, once again, on the Brewers and the Dodgers to just keep soaring. I just think that it's the season of the haves and have-nots. It's not the sexiest answer. There's not anything wild with that answer. But you've got teams with the Red Sox who are on pace to win 108 games, Joe, on one side. And then on the other side, you got a team like the Orioles who are on pace to win just shy of 45. If those paces remain the same, the Orioles are going to lose the American League East by 63 baseball games. 63 baseball games. And it's that kind of season. There's not a lot of drama, and I think the drop-offs and the surges are just going to rearrange playoff position or just solidify them. They're not going to bring a team in or out.
Check him out on Twitter. Oh, sorry about that, buddy. Check him out on Twitter at Beating the Book. He's the host of both A Numbers Game on the Vegas Stats and Information Network, as well as the Beating the Book podcast, which is the OG sports betting podcast out there. You are going to want to be all over this thing for football season and everything in between. Gil Alexander joining me here on the Sharp 600. Always a pleasure, buddy. Enjoy your weekend. Thank you for your time. I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
That, boys and girls, is a wrap for episode 111 of the podcast. Special shout out to Gil Alexander for taking some time out of his day to join us to talk a little MLB. Shout out to you guys for your continued support of the project. A reminder to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It's always appreciated. I'm in Tahoe next week, and then the NFL previews will commence. So until then, everyone, be well and best of luck.